Lee Allen on the horn again.
Radio was another world. I could sit by the radio and get lost in the programs. Yes, they were programs, whole stories. Nobody ever heard of disc jockeys in those days. DJs were at least 10 years away. When I was a kid, radio was wonderful. It was filled with adventure, comedy, drama, heroes, and suspense. I would listen and imagine. The action, voices, and places were real to me. So real that there were pictures in my mind. I could see them all. Superman could fly. Not the television Superman, my Superman. My favorite program was The Lone Ranger. Mom didn't want me to listen to The Lone Ranger, though. Too much blood and guts, she would say. There were others on her no-no list, too, but whenever I could, I listened anyway. The Lone Ranger was created and broadcast in Detroit. So was The Green Hornet and Challenge of the Yukon. You might remember that one if I told you it was all about Sergeant Preston of the Canadian Mounted Police and his husky dog, King. I can still hear him. On, King! On, you huskies! He would say. I had a perfect picture of all of them in my mind. They were absolutely real to me. Bigger than life, stronger than anyone, and invincible.
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a haughty Hiyo Silver! The Lone Ranger! With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow.
One night, my mom and dad took my sister and I out to dinner at a restaurant they frequented. A lot of Detroit movers and shakers were there. I can clearly remember my dad saying to me that the Lone Ranger had just walked in. Did I want to meet him? He asked. And then, pushing through the crowd with me in tow, my dad stopped at a table near the back of the restaurant. One of the men stood up, and my dad introduced me. I was devastated. I was hoping it wasn't a joke. My dad was always a nice man, and he was always very kind to me, so I knew it wasn't. The reason? The man's name was Earl Grauser. He was the actor who played the Lone Ranger on the radio, and he was short and fat. The Lone Ranger was short and fat. My little world crashed that night. The program originated from WXYZ Radio in Detroit. Earl Grauser played the part on the air, but he never appeared anywhere in person as the Lone Ranger. Personal appearances were done by the program's deep-voiced announcer, Brice Beamer. The actor who played Tonto never appeared in person as Tonto either. His name was John Todd. He was not an Indian. He was an older man, Caucasian, a Shakespearean actor, and a professor at Wayne State University in Detroit. He looked nothing like the Lone Ranger's faithful companion. I never met him. In a way, that's a good thing. To me, he was Tonto.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto returned to their camp.
Tonto, Dan must have met with an accident.
Look, saddlebags empty. Him not reach town, seem like. But him gone long time.
If Dan were able, even though he were hurt, he'd send a message to us. Research his saddlebags, Tonto, and see if there's a note in one of them. Tonto, look here.
Kimasabe, that big silver thunderbird, feller on train wearing watch chain.
Yes, you and Dan told me about that. You said the outlaws on the train took it.
That's right.
I don't know how Dan got it, but he may have met one of those crooks. He may be in trouble.
Then what we do?
We'll take Victor and follow his tracks back to the place where he left Dan. Let's hurry.
Beamer was tall, slim, good-looking, and the perfect Lone Ranger. Grauser was only the voice. Not long after that, there was another terrible night. Earl Grauser was killed in a car crash. His voice was stilled. Funny, though. I heard about it, but never believed that the Lone Ranger was dead or would ever die. In spite of Mom's orders, I found a way to listen to the next program after the crash. In it, the Lone Ranger was wounded and couldn't speak. It seemed like weeks before he recovered, and we began to hear his voice again. Slowly, with each succeeding program, the voice emerged deeper, stronger, more resonant than ever. This only confirmed my belief that the Lone Ranger was immortal. It was true that Earl Grauser died in that crash, but the Lone Ranger didn't. The new voice introduced to the radio audience, ever so slowly, was that of the announcer, Brace Beamer.
Tonto, this branch trail leads to a small farmhouse.
Ah.
We'll run in among the trees from here, Tonto. We don't want to be seen by anyone who might be there. When we get closer, we'll go on foot. Come on, Silver.
Come forward. Come forward.
He not only sounded like the Lone Ranger, but he looked like him, dressed like him, owned an actual ranch in Oxford, Michigan, just outside of Detroit, and had horses there. One of them was a white stallion. The stallion's name was Silver. Until his death in 1964, Brace Beamer not only played the part on the radio, he was the Lone Ranger. He believed his part. That was the year I finally came face to face with my boyhood hero just before he died. Here's a little bit of trivia for you. Fran Stryker created the Lone Ranger. In the first story, a posse of Texas Rangers are ambushed by the Butch Cavendish gang. The Rangers are all killed, all except one. John Reed, whose brother Dan Reed lay dead with the rest, survives. He's discovered by Tonto, a Potawatomi Indian who nurses him back to health. Finally, when John Reed comes out of his coma, he asks about his companions. Tonto tells him, all dead. My brother Dan, what about my brother? Him dead too, Tonto answers. All Rangers killed except you. You, Lone Ranger.
Are you weak? Me glad. Yes, I... So weak. You wounded man.
I remember an ambush.
Isn't that right? Me find you in canyon. Carry you here to cave.
It's daylight.
It's morning.
Then I must have been unconscious all night.
It's several days since fight in canyon.
Several days.
You remember? Many years ago, you find Indian boy in trouble. You saved life, Indian boy.
Yes. Your name is Tonto.
That right?
Years ago, you called me Kemosabe.
That right. And you still Kemosabe. It means faithful friend.
Tonto, there were six of us in that canyon. The others. What about the other rangers?
Other ranger. All dead.
Dead. One was my brother.
You, only ranger left. You, Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger.
Well, John Reed vows to avenge the tragedy of his murdered brother and companions. To keep outlaws from discovering there's a survivor of their massacre, he must disguise himself, and he dons a black mask. About every other week on the radio, the story includes the Lone Ranger's nephew, Dan Reed. Well, Fran Stryker, the writer who created the Lone Ranger, also wrote The Green Hornet. The Green Hornet, whose real name was Britt Reed, was sort of a modern-day Lone Ranger who also wore a mask, also had a sidekick, a Filipino named Cato, and instead of a white stallion, rode in his sleek black car named the Black Beauty. Get the similarity? Lone Ranger, mask, Indian sidekick Tonto, a fast white stallion named Silver, silver guns with silver bullets, and the Green Hornet, mask, Philippine sidekick, fast car named Black Beauty, and a gun that shoots gas, knocking his opponents out, but never killing them. Okay, here's the trivia. Here's the question. How was the Lone Ranger related to the Green Hornet? Answer? The Green Hornet's real name was Britt Reed, son of Dan Reed Jr., son of Dan Reed Sr., the brother of John Reed, the real name of the Lone Ranger. So, the Lone Ranger is the Green Hornet's great-great-uncle. Is that fun or what?
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies that even the G-men cannot reach, the Green Hornet.
I love that little radio. My world was in there. My idols, my friends, they were all in there.
With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed as he races toward another thrilling adventure. The Green Hornet strikes again.
Cato. Here's where we smash a smuggling racket.
Anyway, sorry I got off the story, but I always thought that was so cool.
Lee Allen on the horn.